Hello, Billy Reeves here. Welcome to the K-Scope podcast. Now, Mark Peters, Ulrich Schnaus and Matthew Linley, collectively engineers, return with a new album on Monday the 11th of August. It's called Always Returning and it's coming out on K-Scope. Therefore, I spoke to the three chaps over a coffee and a cake recently. You'll hear from them shortly, but let's kick off with a track from Always Returning. This is Engineers. This is entitled A Million Voices. From the new album by Engineers entitled Always Returning, out on the 11th of August. That piece is entitled A Million Voices. Now, it's essentially Mark Peters who writes the songs, Ulrich Schnaus playing the textures and synths, Matthew Linley playing organ and drums. So the first thing I wanted to ask Ulrich is how he got involved in the creative process once Mark had written the songs.
Mark had done a great deal of the work already, and as far as my involvement is concerned, it was basically a matter of adding synth textures quite towards the end, actually, when like the songs as such were very advanced already, as far as the construction is concerned.
Kind of even really fully, virtually fully mixed. I think probably even... Yeah. Quite understandable from an outsider's point of view. You know, I made a track and then gave it to Ulrich, he put some bits on, and yeah, really didn't happen.
So what does Ulrich bring to the table then that you can't do? Why do you need him then?
I don't think he does, to be honest with you.
A sense of the community.
He's not just an expert of synths, he's a great composer, a great player.
All round good egg.
I mean, I think I'm probably quite often, probably as all of us, guilty of oversaturating stuff anyway, so I don't really use it, I think
a lot of the good things that you did were when you listened to it and you sort of kind of thought, what is the rhythmic aspect which needs
it actually was almost like that. I think what it was more like, we were even discussing that a lot when we were before recording, and we were thinking about what could be done. It started out more as a frequency orientated thing, and I just noticed that there was quite a bit of room, if anything, there was room on the record as far as like a lower mid-range is concerned. And then we thought, okay, let's try to do, and obviously that's a range naturally where you would probably do more like kind of quite percussive and pronounced, because otherwise it's just going to turn into one big soup, you know, like if I would have decided to do something in a high or mid-range, then sure. I probably would have done like more textural.
Yeah, so stuff. Consequently, yeah. Like a lot of the more ambient sounds and stuff that I put on, Ulrich added, or Matthew kind of added a few synths, some tracks, but a lot of the Ulrich stuff is more of the dry kind of percussive stuff that you can
hear. See. This is cathartic. It's almost like a decompression after the album. Let's talk it through and see what happens.
I think that's always been a really important thing, I think, for all the three of us. I mean, our stuff may be very multi-layered and dense as far as the finished studio versions are concerned, but I think we all pay quite a bit of attention that they work as compositions as well, even just by played by one singer.
I described this record to a friend of mine recently as dance music made by people who can't dance. Is that fair?
It's not true. I think I mean, I'm generally not a very confident person, but that I would actually insist on, yeah. Yeah.
Ulrich's not having it.
No, because he's a groovy motherfucker.
I'm
music were you listening to when you created this record, Mark? I mean, if you're sort of like sitting there staring out the window thinking, oh, fuck, I've got to make another record, what inspiration did you take orally?
I mean, first of all, it's never really a stress to get inspiration. I'm a bit of a music nerd, as everyone else in the band is. That's why I do music with them. So, yeah, there's always probably a bit of a kind of common theme of West Coast American kind of rock. But more recently, I've kind of started listening to kind of more 80s kind of indie music, kind of stuff like Felt Wire. I've been listening a lot to Blue Nile over the years, kind of like the combination of instruments and that, and this kind of yearning kind of melancholy that they do.
It's interesting you mentioned Felt there, as you are now one of the premier musicians in Britain. Can you see if you can dig Morris Deepbank out? Whatever happened to you? Made one album for Cherry Red.
What, a solo album?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, which isn't that great. It's called Inner Thought Zone.
Has it got vocals on it?
No, it's all stuff like his instrumental stuff with Felt, but it's a bit boring.
Yeah, there's a track on the first ever mini album by them. It's called Preacher in New England.
Yeah.
Oh, it's stunning.
That's the B-side of the 12-inch of Penelope Tree.
Oh, you got it bad.
Don't forget, I'm a very, very old man. And, of course, Felt were the group that girls liked when I was at sixth form, and we absolutely adored them. Well, they were the anti-punk. You know, them Orange Juice, that Cherry Red thing was kind of like, because punk had got so yobby and butch, and just totally lost its way. It's had post-punk, essentially. That had got all butch. So when all those groups came along, it was a really nice... It was an antithesis to the thesis. Yeah,
it's like masculinity spoils a lot of music, doesn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, yeah. But
the track that actually, while we're talking about them, is that I think it's influenced track two, the single Fight or Flight, was Primitive Painters.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, the one with Liz Fraser on it.
Yeah. And Robin Guthrie as well, I think. Yeah. He's got both of them.
Does he play on it, or did he just produce
it? I think he just produced it, and then, of course, put a load of flanges on everything. But I think that was their biggest hit, Primitive Painters, in the charts. Ulrich, German music. I wonder if you had an opinion on why it's so hip to like all of those Dusseldorf bands. Your Neu, your La Dusseldorf, your Amundul, your Popov, your Cologne bands. It's extremely hip.
I mean, to be honest with you, maybe a British person would actually be more qualified to answer that, because it's obviously hip here. It's actually not so hip in Germany. And I mean, I think it's probably just the usual thing. It's a bit of cultural tourism, and since we're generally living in an age where it's not like there is like a revolution happening every day in popular culture, and people are sort of dissecting the last 30, 40 years desperately looking for something that is a bit different. I think that doesn't only apply to crowd rock as well. That goes for many other things as well.
Excellent answer. Because it was genuinely countercultural. I mean, Connie Plank was when they were genuinely... And of course, to them, what was happening here, prog, they called Anglo-rock. In Germany, so it was their progressive music, but for some reason it's like really, it's wrong to like anything proggy, but it's okay to like.
I think that music was genuinely progressive.
I mean, I always think for British people, it probably must be quite fascinating to listen to this stuff, because even if you don't know much about German or continental European history, you can probably hear in the music still that there is something distinctly different about the overall cultural setup, which is that you use the word counterculture. Well, I think in the UK or in the US even as well, that's always a bit of a funny term, because stuff is only counterculture for a certain period, and then most of the time it actually successfully manages to cross over into the mainstream and make an impact on mainstream culture. While in Germany, that's never happened. So you had for decades and decades, you had this totally isolationist situation of the writer Heinrich Böll once coined the phrase 6 against 60 million, you know, and I think that's created maybe a situation why that stuff is a bit more radical than countercultural stuff would have been in the UK or the US.
No, that's really genuinely very interesting, because I am fascinated by that music and I own a lot of it. Now, is there anything else that we should cover? Do you love it? Do you love your record, Mark? What's your relationship with it?
What I'm most happy about is, I mean, although you did say it's quite dense, I do feel there is a kind of a bit more restraint in some ways. Okay. And I think the production is quite unified and it's a bit of a step up, at least certainly from the last one anyway. And yeah, so which I'm happy about, because it's as the last one was, it's kind of, it's been done and without any external influence.
Thank you. Engineers, from the album Always Returning, you heard firstly Searched for Answers and that one, the title track, Always Returning. My thanks to Mark Ulrich and Matthew for keeping us company. Always Returning is going to be released as a two-disc, 24-page booklet media book, with the second disc being an instrumental version of the album, as a dual-case CD, digitally, of course, and as a vinyl LP with an 8-page booklet. You can order from the K-Scope store, and there's a free track, Fight or Flight, available too. Go to kscopemusic.com for the details. Now, shortly, on the 15th of September, coming out on K-Scope, the follow-up to 2012's acclaimed All the Wars, the new album from the Pineapple Thief. Bruce Sword, John Sykes, Steve Kitch have now been joined by Dan Osborne on drums. Album comes out on 15th of September. There's some tour dates through Europe this winter to promote the new album, Magnolia. From the 18th of November through to the 23rd of November, you'll find them touring Germany. Then a date in Paris on the 25th of November, the 26th, 27th, 28th and 29th in the Netherlands. And then four dates in the UK, the 3rd of December at the Islington Academy in North London, the 4th of December, the Fleece in Bristol, the 5th of December, the Ruby Lounge in Manchester, and on the 6th of December in Scotland, the Liquid Rooms in Edinburgh. To celebrate then, from the new album, Magnolia, here's the Pineapple Thief, and this track is called Breathe. My name's Billy Reeves, and I'll speak to you soon. Ta-ta.
Turn the tide back. Won't you ever turn and fall into my arms and breathe? Won't you?
Come up, 'cause one of these days you'll come up. 'Cause one of these.